Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
All right, here we go. If you're joining us for the first time, we've been on a series. We started a series called Fake News. How many of you have ever been taken in by fake news? Oh yeah, here we go. Yes, this is not fake news, but we're on a series. This is what's going to go. Okay, listen to this. How many of you can relate to these? You've been on the hunt for a new couch or maybe new golf clubs. You've compared prices, done your research so as not to overspend. Suddenly, an ad pops up on your feed, flaunting huge discounts at a local sofa or sports store, if you're going for the golf clubs. But the sale ends tomorrow. FOMO kicks in. If you don't act now, you're going to miss out on this amazing deal, and who knows when the sale will come around again. Anybody relate? Oh man, I had the temptation this week. I got this ad in my mailbox, and it was like, at least 50% off, and it was these are my barefoot shoes. Anyway, if you know what barefoot shoes are, they're the most comfortable things. There's not much to them. You're walking barefoot all the time. And I was like, oh, but I resisted. So good. It was a miracle. I was shocked. Here's another one. Maybe you can relate to this one. You finally paid off Visa, promising yourself no spending for a while, until you open your inbox and see the package deals from the travel agency you used 2 years ago. The kids have been begging to go on a trip. Guilt starts to nag. You don't want them to miss out. Or maybe this one. All your friends are going to the concert and begging you to come. You can't stand the band. But you also can't stand the thought of seeing everyone's posts knowing you missed out. Missing out, or more famously known as FOMO. How many of you suffer? Be honest. FOMO is a part of, we all suffer it in some way, shape, or form. It hits you, whether you believe it or not. It shows up differently. Some of us, it's over stuff. It's the shopping bag. I can't miss, I need to have, I got, oh, this will look great. I'll be able to make a really nice, aesthetically pleasing, you know, post on my feed if I have this thing sitting on my shelf that I will never think about ever in my life. But it will look good on my feed for a whole 30 seconds. Some of us, it's experiences. And these could be as simple as, oh man, this trip of a lifetime. Or whatever, or some of it, the experience might be just the experience of, oh man, all my friends are getting married, I'm missing out. Others, it's status. I'm missing out, man, if we don't get this house in this neighborhood, dang. Or the chance to prove ourselves or to be liked or accepted. And you know, this series we've been on, Fake News, we're really, it's exploring some of the lies and misbeliefs that are very prevalent in our culture and unfortunately sometimes find their way in the church as well. Everyone say fake news. Fake news. This whole thing, fake news, you're missing out. This is actually something we all get snagged by. But what's worse, this is the thing. Wait till you hear what I'm going to read you in just a minute. What's worse, daily, this thing is being stoked in us most of the time without us even realizing it. Listen to this. A friend said the day, and it's just like, I don't know if I should laugh or be fuming. This is like terrible. This is from a marketing website. If you're wondering how you can use fear of missing out to increase your sales, and you want some solid proof to back it up, we've got some FOMO statistics you're going to love. In this article, we share 25 plus powerful stats for 2024, covering everything from what causes FOMO to, listen to this, how to drive sales with FOMO marketing. If you spent any time on the radio, on Instagram, on Facebook, on your phone, anytime, you're being hit with this and don't even realize it. And it works. Listen to this. 60% of travelers booked a trip because of FOMO. 60% of shoppers say FOMO, fear of missing out, was the influence in buying something. Isn't that crazy? You guys aren't as excited about this as I was. I was just like excited, not like, oh, this is awesome, but like, it gets me riled up to think I'm being manipulated. Anybody like to be manipulated? No, that's what marketing is. But this isn't, here, this is the whole thing. Fear of missing out isn't just about shopping. How is your missing out? How is that fake news? This is how it's fake news. Because what it's really saying, the deeper message is that's being stoked in us, is that these things, this experience, this status, this endeavor, this opportunity, whatever it is, this is the answer to the longings of your soul. That's what this whole, you're missing out. It's stoking this in us, believing that we're missing out on something so vital for our sense of peace and security and joy and contentment and excitement and well-being. We're being stoked to think you're missing out. But here the thing is, FOMO isn't the real issue. That's not even the real issue. It's the fallout of FOMO. That's a real issue. Because this is what ends up happening to us. We live always on, always connected, easily distracted, and unable to quiet ourselves. Everybody, if you got a phone, pull it out for a minute. Just pull it out. Just look at it. This will be one of the few times they tell you to pull out your phone and look at it in church. That touch you just made on your phone was one of 2,617 times you will probably touch your phone today. That is the average time. If you're under the age of 30, it's up almost double. The average time looking at our phone jumped in the past 5 years from 3 hours to 4.8 hours every day looking at our phone. That's a lot of time. But not only that, and maybe you're not the phone person, but maybe you're the kind of person that you're always, something's in your ear. You work, you do homework, you jog, you run, you drive, you make supper, you mow the yard, and you're listening to podcasts, or you're listening to music, or audiobooks, or something always in your ear. How many of you are in that category? Got to have the music on, got to have something on. See, this is the thing. We are habitually training our soul in the direction of noise and chaos. We have cultivated a way of being in the world that eliminates quiet, stillness, and inactivity. And if you're the mother of young children, you're like, yes, I understand this. My life is anything but quiet. If only I could have quiet and stillness. But here's the thing. We're not designed to function this way. What our soul truly wants, and what all our missing out or fear of missing out purchases and experiences and opportunities and, you know, whatever that is, all of those things, they're promising something that our soul, they're promising to deliver what they can't deliver. Yeah. And see, what our soul is actually longing for, what your soul is actually longing for is peace, contentment. Yeah, yes. Peace, contentment, and stillness. Now that has a couple different meanings that we're going to look at, because it doesn't just mean you sit around and do nothing all day. See, there's a difference between having stillness in your soul while you're going about your day. And some people can sit and do nothing all day and be very agitated in their soul. But Jesus had a solution for this. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses, because just the rhythm of the verse, the words, it's just like you can just hear Jesus. It's such a beautiful verse. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is the message. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Now just let those words set. Doesn't it just like, oh, come to me, get away with me, and recover your life. Close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to just listen to these words. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Everyone say, ah. You can open your eyes. Get away with me. Jesus' invitation, get away with me. Get away with me. Now, the beginning, those words, burned out on your religion. I'm not burned out on religion. Let me read you a definition of religion. This is one definition of religion. I think it actually applies because religion is a term that's more than just that, something that has to do with what some people would call this experience. Oh, you're a person of religion. What's your religion? Do you have a religion? Do you have faith? What is that? I like this definition. It simply means this. There's another definition. This is actually an old version or definition of religion. Scrupulous conformity. Scrupulous, if you don't know what that word means, it means painstaking. It's like you just work so hard to conform. And you know, with that definition, there's a lot of things in life that can be a religion. Your job can be your religion. Your family could be your religion. Sports can be a religion. Our activities can be a religion. A certain status that we're striving to attain or a certain way of a lifestyle that we're trying to change, that can be our religion. Anything that is, we're scrupulous, we're working so hard to try to conform and to fit in this mold. Some young people, your religion might be trying to live up to a mold your parents or somebody else is putting, or your friends are putting on you. Scrupulous conformity. Jesus says, are you tired, burned out? Burned out on scrupulous conformity. Come away, come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. So how do we combat this fake news? What does this look like? Well, the spiritual practice, and if you're not familiar with spiritual practices are habits that we intentionally engage in not to get God to love us more, not to get brownie points so he'll answer our prayers and bless us, or to show we're a good person. They're habits that we form. If you've ever played sports, it's just like, how many times were you shooting layups? How many times were you practicing a bump return pass? How many times were you practicing a spike? How many times were you practicing, I won't try to golf because I'm a terrible golfer, but how many times were you trying to, practice that swing? See, you know I'm a golfer. I nailed it. Or a shot. I remember, man, when I was a kid, I moved to Canada when I was 7 from the States. And in gym, we unfortunately had a teacher who was a hockey crazy man. And all we did was play floor hockey. And here's an American kid who never had seen a stick in her life or a puck. And he's like trying to, I held it like a broom most of the time. It was terrible. But it's like, try to get a shot. No, do it this way. It's like, no, it's just like, it's not going to happen. But when you're practicing those shots over and over, practicing the lip, practicing your free lip, you just do it over and over and over. Yes? Yes. Or if you're practicing trying to do a good fly fishing toss, I can't even do that either. Whatever that looks like. Or cooking, just practice over. Spiritual practices are intentional habits that we form with the intention of putting ourselves in a place where we cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he is doing the formation in us. And so, a spiritual practice that can help us combat this pull in our world that gets us to try to think we're missing out is something called silence and solitude. Or you could just solitude, for that matter. And it's more than just being alone by yourself. It's a particular posture. It's a particular way of being. And solitude is the practice of being still and quiet in the presence of God where we are being transformed in inner strength. It's the practice where we are giving God space to form our inner selves along the lines of His peace and His presence. And God's intention in doing that is that He would make us quiet in our soul in a noisy world. He would enable us to go deep in a world that is very shallow. And that we would become a non-anxious presence to a world that is filled with chaos. That is the reason, one of the reasons, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you call yourself by a title or you would refer to yourself as being a Christian, that is part of your purpose for still having breath in your lungs on the planet. We are to be a reflection, because all of that is a reflection of the life of God. God's quiet presence. God doesn't scream and yell and try to get you to do all sorts of things that you're just, God wants to form us so deeply inside, where there is a depth in us that is so different from the world around us. See, when you got deep roots, you don't get taken out when storms come. When you got deep roots, you can withstand pressure in life. You know, in the last couple years, my husband and I, we've turned into plant people. Never in a million years would, if you told me like 5 years ago, you're going to be a plant person, I would have laughed at your face. We've killed everything that has tried to survive in our house. Even the plants that say they're unkillable, we killed it. Someone gave us a plant, and this is 2020. It was when my mom and dad passed away. It was a beautiful plant, and this thing, like, survived. And it still survived today. I can't believe we didn't kill it. Well, that started something. We're not plant people. Yesterday, I had this plant. How many of you ever, you know what a fiddle-leaf fig tree is? Ours was getting near the top of the ceiling. It was beyond, anyway. So I was like, oh, what am I going to do with this thing? So I started reading about pruning. I'm like, oh, I don't want to prune. That's my husband's job. So when I went and got the prune shears, and I just like, oh, I hope I did this right. And I repotted it. I actually was able to get three new little plants. I had to prune a branch and prune the top. And I stuck it in, and one of them's kind of skinny. I'm like, I'm following the instructions. This thing is going to stand. And it started to lean. I'm like, oh, no. And it was like 11 o'clock last night. And I went, Sam's like, good night. And I'm like, good night. And I started going outside. She goes, where are you going? I said, I need a rock. And I had to go out in a rock bed to find a rock to prop this poor little tree up, because it's got no roots. And I got grandkids that like to run around and play in the house. And if that thing gets bumped, it's going to be toast. It doesn't have roots. But see, there's something God wants to form in us where our roots are so deep in Him that you can withstand. Lately, it's just been life. But where you can also withstand the storms that will come to the blessed, favored children of God. You will go through storms, and they will be the mother of all storms. There is no way out of it, except God promises that if our roots are those who are planted in the house of God, God wants our roots to go down deep in Him, into the house of God, where we can grow strong. We will stand in the midst of the storms. And this is what God is wanting to form deep in our soul. And I will admit, this whole thought, this idea of solitude, silence, this is very hard. This is very challenging. Because in our hyper-distracted, attention-deficit world, everything is pulling us out of this kind of way of being. We get uncomfortable when it gets quiet. Anybody relate? It's like when I turn, when it's quiet and I got all my thoughts, it's just like, oh my gosh, the to-do list went from 10 to like 50. All of a sudden, all of the things you need to start doing. And I find personally, it's like when I try to practice, okay, God, I'm going to be quiet in your presence. I just want to be here with you. I find that the exact opposite happens in me. I start getting restless. I start thinking I've got to do this, and I forgot about this, and I got to do this, and oh my gosh, the plants need watering. That one's dying over there. But we get restless. All the internal traffic just starts chattering, chattering, chattering. And you know what I love? Blaise Pascal, some of you, if you're not familiar with him, he was a 17th century French mathematician, physicist, inventor, philosopher. He was very smart. But listen to what he said. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. That was in the 1600s. I think Pascal would be like off his rocker today. He'd be just like, what? You guys are crazy. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room. See, this idea, this practice of solitude, of being quiet in the presence of God, this isn't just a good idea or something good that, you know, oh, maybe, well, I'm not really a quiet person. I can't sit still. That's not for me. Actually, it is. We need this. Just like our body needs sleep, this practice of silence and solitude, of being quiet in God's presence, is something your soul absolutely needs, just like your body needs sleep. There's certain things that are going on in your body. It's being healed. It's being replenished in ways while you sleep that you cannot get from any other activity. You have to sleep. People literally go crazy if they do not sleep. And our soul, for our soul, this posture, this position, this practice of silence and solitude and quiet in God's presence, it does for our soul. There are certain things, certain ways that we can grow in God that only come from this practice. You will be missing out unless you can develop this kind of quiet peace in your soul. Silence and solitude is a way that we wean our soul from all the stuff in this world. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 131, 2. He said, I have calmed myself and quieted myself like a weaned child. And this pulling ourselves out, taking moments to just be, God, I'm going to be still in your presence. I'm going to be quiet with you. It weans our soul from all of the things that try to come in and distract us, that culture tells us we need, that we're missing out on. If we don't have it, we don't get it. If we don't have this experience. See, I know the idea of being quiet is some of you are thinking just, oh, that's a luxury. I just don't have that luxury. And some of you think, what a waste. But I believe more and more it absolutely is a necessity. I felt it. I know what it does in my own soul. Over the last this is a practice that I have developed only in the last few years. And I know when I don't, I can feel it starting to stir, the agitation, the nonstop spinning of the brain trying to solve all of the problems. If you've ever experienced that, how many of you have the brain that just like, it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about this problem and this problem and this problem and this, I gotta fix this and I gotta fix this. It just never goes, it never stops. It's like the hamster wheel just keeps running and running and running. That is a sign of a soul needing its rest in the presence of God. Silence and solitude is detox for our soul. It's a way we get rid of the junk and the debris and the stuff that tries to blow itself up in its importance. Now, to be clear again, this practice doesn't change us. What it does is it keeps us in place. You know, like if you've got a bone that's broken, what do they do to it? They cast it, right? It holds the bone in place. The cast isn't healing the bone. Your body is healing its own bone, right? The spiritual practices work like a cast for your soul. They hold us in place. They literally hold us in place. But Bible reading is the same thing. Bible reading, it works like a castle. So it keeps us in a right place or a right position or a right posture so that God's healing work, the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us. So the Holy Spirit can do this deep work of healing deep inside of us, the places he can't get access to when we're just going about life and doing our thing. Silence and solitude train us to recognize God's presence. And that's so vital because then we're quicker to recognize this is God's presence, this is God's voice, and we're quicker to spot fake news when it tries to come at us. But here, there's it again. Waiting in silence with God can be the most frustrating thing. I will be honest. It is. If any of you know me, I am like, go, go, go. If, 8 on the Enneagram. And no, the Enneagram's not from the devil. I'm just an 8. And if you're an 8, you know what that's like. It's like, get on to business. Come on, come on, come on, come on. It's time to go. Let's get stuff done. So for me to sit still, it's just like. And you will find that problem too. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the chatterbox goes off. It's like the snow globe effect. It's like the minute you try to quiet, all of a sudden it's like somebody shook the snow globe. It's just like all the million things you got to do, and you're forgotten, and all the issues you're dealing with, and oh, I'm a bad parent, I yell at my kids again, and oh my gosh, we got to do this, and oh my gosh, the kids are, oh, I forgot to get their backpacks. Presence doesn't always feel productive. A.W. Tozer, another theologian, he said, sometimes you're going farther when you're not going anywhere. You're moving faster when you're not moving at all. You know, Isaiah 30, 15, it says, in quietness, and God, you will find strength. In the quietness of God's presence, that's where your strength is going to be renewed. That's where your strength is going to come from. And if you say, I don't have time for this, that is the number one indication. You're on life support right now. And you need to make time for this. I'm not talking hours. I'm not even talking an hour. I'm talking start 5 minutes. I'm going to give you a few more how to do that. It kind of works like this. You know when you got your phone, battery's dying, it's on its last 2%. The way to get that thing to charge faster is to plug it in, put it on airplane mode, and let it sit. And don't use it. Your battery will charge faster. The battery will get stronger when it's plugged into the power source and it just sits there not being used. Unfortunately, we kind of work like that. Your battery, your soul, your spirit will get charged more thoroughly, faster when you are plugged into the power source and you're just sitting in his presence. Airplane mode is on. There are no distractions. In fact, your phone isn't even near you. Sometimes I just want to throw that thing. Anybody else want to do that? It's just like. In fact, if you would be up for doing a challenge with me, I've come this close to like flip phone, 30-day flip phone challenge. If you are with me, come up and tell me afterwards. We just might practice something. How do we practice this? Okay, here, let's make this very practical. Daily, how do you practice a silence? I'm talking 5 minutes. And this is what I do. There are times, get a timer. I mean, if you need to have your phone there for a timer, put it there, but don't have it dinging. Turn your message, just shut it off, but you can still time. But you put it down 5 minutes, you set a timer, whatever you want to start with, maybe you're 10 minutes, and you just sit quietly, and you close your eyes, because if they're open, you probably will get distracted. Or if you need them open, then keep them open, but just look up. But don't look at the stuff in the corner that needs to be cleaned. Or the toys that didn't get picked up. That's the one thing. Personal experience. But you sit there and you just say, God, I'm here for you. Don't talk. Don't, for you, the pray in tongues, just shut up. Don't pray in tongues. Sometimes we do that just out of nervous chatter. I'm all for praying in tongues. I pray in tongues a lot. But sometimes we just do it for nervous chatter. Just be quiet. And God, I'm here. And you just wait. When a busy thought comes up, what you say is, Jesus, I bring this under your lordship. That means you're giving it, putting it aside to him and let him worry about it for the moment, that you can't control it for 5 minutes. You might need to do that 20, 30, 40, 50 times during that 5 minutes, but just do it. Another thing that's really helpful is a really cool app. Actually, there's a good one. It's called the 1 Minute Pause. And it's an app to help you do just this. Resist the urge. When the snow globe starts flying, resist the urge. And you're just quiet. Now, the goal in this isn't to get a word from God. In fact, if you're like, oh, I didn't hear God say anything, that's okay. You weren't supposed to right now, because you're training yourself how to actually learn how to recognize God's voice. He speaks to you all the time. He speaks to us all the time. We just don't, number one, hear him. We're too busy, and we don't recognize his voice. And so the goal of this isn't to get a word from the Lord, or where am I supposed to read it? Don't read your Bible. You're just quiet. 5 minutes. And mom, if you're like, I got little ones all day running around, you know what? You can take 5 minutes. Lock yourself in the bathroom. God will take care of them for 5 minutes. Or get up 5 minutes early before they get up. I remember this was my life for so many years. It was just like, man, I am so tired, but I'm getting up because I know I only have a half hour to be quiet with everybody else before they get going. And then weekly, practice this. Once a week, just start with once a week. This might develop into a daily one. Practice, do whatever you usually have ear, listen to music, listen to audiobooks, listen to podcasts, whatever it is. Practice doing that activity without it. Without any noise in the background, without TV on, without anything else to distract. Go for a walk with your phone at home, nothing in your ears. Mow the lawn with nothing in your ears. Cook, do, work out, whatever it is, just without the thing, the noise. And then maybe seasonally, take a time where it's like you go, if you're at a stage of life where you can do this. Man, teens, you are at a great stage in life. Singles, you don't have any kids responsible that you're responsible for. You're at a great stage in life where you can book. Man, in fact, I would go so far as to say, man, young people, if you struggle with things like anxiety and depression and just really struggling a lot in your soul, you need a soul detox. And if you can have the luxury of going away in a quiet place, might be an extended walk, God will replenish your soul. I want to read this, and then we're going to practice one thing, and then we're going to end. Part of maturing in Christ is not judging the quality of our time with him based on how we feel. The goal is to be with Jesus, not to have a feel-good experience. The benefits of spending time in silence go beyond the time itself. For example, during the day, there'll be a greater awareness of God and ourselves, how we're responding or how we're reacting throughout the day. There'll be a feeling of being more centered, less triggered, having a deeper sense of peacefulness. Just showing up consistently to be with Jesus in silence is an expression of trust and dependence on him. That is the ultimate of what this practice is meant to form in us, to remind us that God alone is the one that we can trust to have our soul, to take us and to lead us and to guide us and to provide what our soul actually needs, what our soul actually longs for. Before we sing, I want to do one thing. I want everybody to close your eyes. I want to practice. I want you to try something. This is something that I learned a few years ago. And maybe it'll work for you now. Maybe it's more practice that it might take some more practice to actually feel the weight of it in your spirit. I want you to think, what is one thing, something that you think you're missing out on or you fear missing out on? And some of you are like, I don't struggle with FOMO. Well, maybe you do, and maybe it's the form of, I fear missing out on seeing my grandkids. Or I fear missing out on seeing my family all following Jesus together. What is something you fear missing out on or think you're missing out on? Okay, if you got it now, ask yourself, why do you want that? What is it you're really hoping that would bring or do or create for you? Be specific. How would your life be better if you got it or experienced it or achieved it? Usually at the bottom of that, it's something we're looking for, a certain feeling. So what would that make? How would you feel? Would you feel at peace? Would you feel joyful? Would you feel excited? Would you feel content? Would you feel accepted? Would you feel loved? Would you feel you belong? Just think about it. Sometimes this train can go, it's a hard train to follow because we don't think about what we actually want from something. What are we actually hoping that will give to us? What am I hoping this experience will provide for me? If you've got that feeling, okay, open your eyes. I want to tell you, did you know you already have that peace, that joy, that contentment, that satisfaction, that security, that sense of longing, belonging, that love, that strength, that excitement, that delight, that satisfaction? You already have all of that in Jesus. So why not go to him first? He invites us to come to him first. Why don't you stand as I read this last verse, and then we're going to spend some time just closing in worship. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. I want to invite you to pray. Can we just close our eyes? God, I want to pray. I want to ask you to just, this, in some way, there is a connection. You're like, man, life has been so frazzled. God, I need this. I need more peace. I want you to just invite you to lift your hand. And I want to just agree in prayer wherever you're at. Maybe there's been a restlessness you haven't been able to put your finger on, some kind of disquieting in your soul, an unrelenting something that just won't stop nagging. Father, every hand raised, God, I thank you that you are the God of peace. Lord, it was the first thing you gave to your disciples when you saw them, when you rose from the dead. You said, peace, I leave you with my peace. And God, I pray even right now, God, a sense of your peace would begin to grow in hearts. God, I pray for a grace, Father, for everyone, Father, those that have raised their hands, Father, every one of us in this room, that there would be a grace this week, Father, to engage in this practice of silence with you, solitude with you, God, that we would heed your call to come away with you, God, to allow you to, Father, restore our life, restore our soul, God, that we would get away with you and, Father, let you bring that, Father, recovery to our life. The recovery our soul is longing for. Jesus, Jesus, you're the one. Can you just begin to just tell him, just a moment, just say, Jesus, you're the one. You're the one, Jesus. You're the only one that satisfies us, Jesus. You're the only one that satisfies. You're the only one that satisfies, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You know, we're going to pray together really quickly. I want to pray, and if there's anyone in this room, or maybe you're watching online, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you've actually thought, you know, maybe you've been a shower up to church, but you have yet to really experience a personal encounter with Jesus. And it comes when we follow him. That comes when we say yes to receiving his gift of salvation. And we're going to pray out loud together. And I just want to give language. If this prayer connects with you, you want to say yes to Jesus, let's pray this prayer together. Just say, Jesus, thank you for everything you've done, your death and resurrection, so my sins could be forgiven and I could have a new start with you. I say yes to salvation. I say yes to following you. Would you come and fill me with your spirit and make me born again? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.